What's going on, my grim, ghastly ghoulies? It's Halloween! On this episode, I have some UFO news, haunted eBay, Edgegrave Dave reviews the infamous Terrifier 3, a very special Tiny Terrifying Tales, and much, much more. So turn down the lights and grab a razor blade flavored apple, everybody. We're on it!
Do aliens exist and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I am your host, Ghost Joe. The Nat Man couldn't make it tonight, unfortunately. He's been doing a lot of working and stuff. But we will catch up with him next time for sure. So it's Halloween, everybody. I haven't missed a Halloween episode in 4 years, so it's not going to happen this year either. It's this time of year where it's cool to take candy and talk to strangers as long as you're wearing a costume. But seriously, I love being scared in the Halloween fashion. You know, it's one of my favorite things. I love horror movies and I love all that stuff. It's just a fun time. So last week, I went to a lecture with Al Santariga, who, along with Brian Bowden, had founded the Bronxville Paranormal Society, the New York State UFO Project, and the New York State Dogman Project, to name a few. And they were both awesome, awesome guests on the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast in Season 2, Episode 25, entitled Face to Face with Bigfoot and Dogman, if you want to check it out. They have amazing stories. Well, this lecture was with Al Santariga. He spoke about his personal experiences with witnessing UFOs since he was a kid and even coming face to face with the little gray guys and the tall gray guys. It was really interesting and it was great to see him again face to face. I'll definitely have him on the show again soon. There was also another speaker. His name was Mark D'Antonio. He has a degree in astronomy and has a YouTube channel called SkyTour Livestream. His lecture was more scientific based, but very interesting. He talks about how UFOs most likely move. Without going into scientific detail, because I'm not smart enough, he basically stated that they have a machine on board of these ships that makes particles, which creates small black holes. This means basically that when you think you see a UFO moving very, very fast, they actually are not. They sort of teleport from one black hole, creating another black hole, and coming out the other end. Now, it kind of sounds a little crazy, but they are actually scientists in America that are working on this same principle right now. He also states that if the aliens were hiding anywhere, it would be in our vast ocean, which we have only ever explored 16% of. There have actually been reports from submarines of catching extremely fast anomalies under the water that go something like 700 miles an hour that they caught. So it was definitely super interesting, and I can't wait to see what else this place might have. I'll put links to both Al Santariga and Mark D'Antonio in the show notes so you guys could check them out. They're both awesome, very, very down-to-earth guys, and I think you're going to like what they have to say.
Out of this world news.
So this is going to be a quick out of this world news, really. This is actually something that I thought was kind of interesting. I mean, it's very, very difficult to look at a lot of these videos and a lot of these pictures now and not think, oh, it's AI, because, you know, AI is pretty incredible and they're doing a lot of crazy things with it. So on the 13th of this month, there have been many reports of a huge UFO spotted in the skies over Washington, D.C., of all places. The events took place around midnight on October 13th, where people had heard a huge crashing sound, witnessed large streaks of light in the sky, kind of like as if something was crash landing, and then many, many police sirens heading to the suspected crash site. Even people from neighboring states had heard crashes in Maryland, North Carolina, and New Jersey. Now, here's the thing. You can see all these videos of the UFO, the police presence, and light streaks in the sky and all that stuff all over TikTok. But there is nothing on Google or any news media about this occurrence at all. It's very, very strange. What's going on? Now, I did check with our resident UFO guy, John Wright. He's our MUFON man. Get it? MUFON man. Anyway, he had said that that video is kind of an old video, that he remembers seeing that from a while ago. But what do you guys think it is? Did you happen to witness this UFO or this craft or whatever it could have been? It could have been anything. It could have been some military thing as well, or a satellite or whatever. If you've witnessed any UFOs, give us a call at 845-600-0744 and let us know about it. No judgment. You don't have to say your name. Just leave us the message and we're going to play it. And yeah, we're going to have a good time listening to it. All right. And maybe we can learn some stuff.
Horrible Reviews with Edgegrave David.
Guys, Edgegrave Davis here with a very special review, a review that I know Ghost Joe and I have been waiting for 2 years since Terrifier 2. I have gotten to see Terrifier 3 on its opening night and the first showing. It is very rare for me to get to see a horror film, or any film for that matter, on its opening night. And I had to move mountains to try to get this done. For some of us, it's a school night. For some of us, it's a work night. But I sure as hell, while it's bloody fresh, wanted to get this done and prepare you. So let's get the Edgegrave warning spoiler alert right out of the way. This film, Terrifier 3, clocks in at 125 minutes with a $2 million budget. Just a little bit shorter than Terrifier 2 at 138 minutes with a shoestring budget that it had of $250,000. And I got to tell you, that movie racked in $15.7 million. It was only supposed to run for about a weekend, and it raked in so much more because they had extended it. Terrifier 3 originally had a release date of October 25th. It was moved up about 2 weeks to October 11th. But luckily here in the United States, they sometimes have movies coming out on the Thursday night. And in this case, at the current time of this recording, I was able to catch it on October 10th. This movie has a very rare ban, actually, where France had classified this and slapped, and I hope that I'm pronouncing this correctly, a negative 18 rating on Terrifier 3. It looks like hyphen 18. This movie has not gotten that kind of ruling of any horror film in about 20 years, and that says something. And the fact that Terrifier 2 got an R rating, I can't imagine that the amount of gore and the amount of mega slasher, as it has been dubbed, was not unrated as well. Terrifier 3 certainly does deserve this rating, and this review, I hope, will prepare you for what you are going to see. So here we go, Terrifier 3 coming at you. It is worth mentioning that Terrifier 1 had an unrated rating as well. My first introduction to Art the Clown was in Terrifier 2. I did then go back and I did see Terrifier 1, and I also did see the All Hallows Eve film that came before it as well. Upon my first introduction to Art the Clown, I knew that we had something extremely special here. Oftentimes in these franchises, hey, it happened to Freddy, it happened to Jason, it happened to Chucky. The franchises just kind of go on and on with sequels. Sometimes they even get TV shows where they start to lose their mystique. Maybe there's a little bit more comedy and you kind of get a little bit more comfortable with the character. That is definitely not the case with Art the Clown. And this is not taking anything away from the horror icons that I just spoke about. At the time of this recording and when this came out, a lot more people now know who Art the Clown is. His merchandise can be found almost everywhere. I went to Spirit Halloween, mall stores like Hot Topic, Spencer Gifts. You can find them online. You can find them here in the States in Walmart. He has become so popular that one of my fears was going to be, I wonder how comfortable that we're going to get. I love the fact that Damien Leone made this film very carefully. He kept it true. Rumor has it that there was a major studio that wanted to do the financial backing to give him more of a bigger budget, but the compromise was they were going to hold back on the gore. Make no mistake about it. This movie is unrelentless, but at the same time, it tells a very grounded story. I felt that a lot of the kills were spaced out, maybe even a little bit more, and there is now a bit of an origin story. I do not want to spoil that for you, but you find out why Sienna is who she is. You find out a little bit more about what Art the Clown is. You get to see a little bit more about the role that Victoria has. As Damien Leone stated, he felt that she was a little underdeveloped in Terrifier 2. She was a main character in Terrifier 1, and she is absolutely shown full circle in this movie. This movie takes place as a little bit of a time jump that's going on here. You could call it a Christmas movie, actually. You can still call it a Halloween movie in a sense, as this is the time that it has come out. But the theme of this is Christmas. And I wasn't sure how I'd feel about that at first. I did get to have the opportunity to go back and see a Fandango special event last year of Terrifier 2. I just enjoyed that movie so much. And they show a little sneak peek of Terrifier 3. You also get that awesome poster too. And my buddy Bill and I did actually get that poster. And it works so perfectly as a holiday movie. I think it's something that people are going to want to replay pretty often. It's going to become a nice holiday classic. There were reports of people throwing up and walking out of Terrifier 2. I did see the poster of Terrifier 3 that said something to the effect of, can you make it past the first 10 minutes? And I was anticipating that heavily. The first 10 minutes already were absolutely insane in this movie. But was it something that you'd want to walk out on? I don't really think so. I also, as Ghost Joe have said in our Terrifier 2 episode, the gore doesn't look completely realistic. It's all practical effects, which in this day and age is very rare. It's still a bit sort of B-movie underground in that regard, but done very, very well. I love practical effects. It's one of my favorites. And I always felt that the gore looked unrealistic in the sense that it would make you vomit. It definitely is blood. It's definitely gore, but it's something that, this is going to sound kind of sick, that I can put on my ice cream sundae. You know, you just see all this kind of red and I'm thinking like, you know, maybe I can make that with like strawberry sauce or, you know, cherry sauce, something like that, corn syrup. But it just so happened that a gentleman that was in a row behind me upon leaving the theater when the movie was done told me that he felt very sick and that he felt like he wanted to vomit, but he, I guess, held it back and did not. Isn't that something? It actually did happen. And I did see somebody walk out within the first, I would say maybe 6 minutes of this movie. So the reports, as far as my eyes have seen, are true. With the ending that Terrifier 2 had of Victoria giving birth to Art the Clown's head, you get to see exactly how Art the Clown returns. Also with a new mythology that gives a broadened horizon of Art the Clown's backstory, but all while keeping the folklore at minimum so that not too much of the character is revealed. But it does have a very balanced story. I want to give a special acknowledgement and shout out to Lauren Lavera for her portrayal of Sienna and the amount of emotional and physical pain that she has gone through. Also, Elliot Fulham as Jonathan, too. These two poor kids, these characters have just been through so much in the previous movie, and they really are trying to put their lives together. But now Sienna has come to live with her aunt and her uncle. She's seeing visions of her friends that have died and trying to keep it together. She's on pills and she knows that Art the Clown isn't truly dead. The way that the time jump works is done, I thought, very perfectly. The well-balanced storyline will definitely add value to some that just wondered, hey, you know, with the first movie more about, I just hate it when people say senseless killing, and part two having somewhat of a, I'm going to say Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors type of plot with the fantasy elements. This movie has more of a grounded approach while retaining some of those elements. I thought that was done very, very well. While this film is definitely not a comedy film, it absolutely does have its share of comedic elements, all while being very spaced out with the gore. One of the highlights that I could definitely say is the bar scene where he does, let's just say, get to meet Santa. And you have a very good reason why he's wearing that Santa suit. And then while it very silently switches over to the horror and you're shocked, you get some excellent kills, and they're all very creative. You get to see things like what to do with a liquid nitrogen tank. That was one of my absolute favorites, where he builds this tank, and there were some kills that reminded me of something that Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat would do with many of his fatalities. You get to see chainsaws, hammers. You get to see all creativity with human organs, and especially in the end portion, there is just so much going on. It will definitely entertain you. It will definitely have you rolling at certain parts, kind of harkening back to how Terrifier 2 had that Halloween costume shop when he has those sunglasses. Well, you're definitely going to love the new pair of sunglasses that he has in this movie, and the way that it makes the switch. All that I could say is, Daniel-san, this film has balance. And it certainly does. And this film might even have a little bit more balance than its predecessor in Terrifier 2. I mean, I just love that movie so much that I just became, I'm going to call myself a super fan right here. I think Art the Clown, as I have said, is here to stay. I think that he is a horror icon of our generation. I know that is saying a lot, but I damn well think that it deserves it. I think that Damien Leone was very smart to take his time in filming this and releasing it his way. As some of you may or may not know, Ghost Joe and I grew up in a little place called Staten Island, which here in the States is one of the five boroughs of New York. And I loved knowing that there were some local spots where we grew up where this was filmed. That's right. There was a portion of this film that was shot right at the Staten Island Mall, a place that I've been so many times and have worked in, and Ghost Joe has worked in our lives. This was also filmed in St. John's University. The other locations, I'm sure, will show themselves as time goes on, but it's just great knowing that, you know, people that live on the West Coast, when you get to see that things were filmed there and you get to drive down the street and do sort of your own little filming location tour. Well, now we have something for our Staten Island friends here. And I just think that that's great. I want to end this review with, I think that this film is more than absolutely worth seeing. You're going to really enjoy it. I'm boosting this one up to a 4.5/5 Graves. I think that the storytelling, the gore, the creativity, the way that it's going is just all-star awesome here. And it does leave you with a cliffhanger. So go ahead, check out, enjoy, and try not to vomit. Terrifier 3 currently is at a theater near you, and then it will be streaming near you as far as other media. I really hope that you enjoyed this one, Ghost Joe, everybody. Happy Halloween, Merry Christmas, Merry everything. 'Tis the season for horror.
Thank you, Edgegrave Dave, for that insightful, insightful review. Listen, I'm just going to go off the cuff right now. Everybody knows how I feel about the Terrifier franchise. I think it's awesome. I think Damien Leone is awesome. David Howard Thornton is incredible. And by the way, if you guys haven't seen it, go check out some of his clips where he does an impression of the Joker. It's freaking mind-blowing. This dude is so talented at what he does. And he's, Art the Clown is definitely a horror icon at this point. And it's funny because probably a lot of the people that are dressing up as him in Halloween and talking about him on TikTok and all this stuff probably haven't even seen all of the movies, but they just love the mystique. They love how crazy he is and how he just doesn't give a damn and just kills just to kill. I mean, he's, and the comedy is just awesome with it too. Just like Edgegrave had said, I absolutely love Art the Clown. And oh, by the way, Lauren Lavera is an amazing final girl. She is one of my favorite final girls of all time. I think she's an excellent actress, and I think you're going to be seeing a lot more of her. Maybe even, hopefully even more than just the horror stuff, because she's an excellent actress. And so, I mean, everybody in this movie was great as well. Even Chris Jericho was in the movie, and Clint Howard, and there were a lot of really cool cameos in this movie. And it was just awesome. The ending was very, very cool. And I'm not really going to spoil anything right here, but they already did greenlight a fourth one. So they're going to be making a fourth one. And I just can't wait, man. It's going to be awesome. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. Terrifier 3 was amazing. Check it out.
Tiny Terrifying Tales.
In the dead of night, when the shadows creep, whispers of secrets the darkness will keep. Ghosts in the garden, they dance and they sway, waiting for lost souls to wander their way. A flicker of light from a pumpkin's grim grin, the chill in the air tells your troubles set in. With each whispered breeze, hear the laughter of fate. On this Halloween night, it's the hour of late. So clutch tight your charm and don't make a sound, for the spirits are restless, they're hungry unbound. In the moon's silver glow, as the clock strikes its chime, beware the eerie stillness, it's the haunting time.
And now for some paranormal news.
All right, everybody. So I wanted to do something spooky and creepy since it is a Halloween episode. This clip I'm going to play for you is from a clip from 2019 from A Current Affair. That's what they used to do in the 90s. Anyway, it talks to a Vatican priest who is trained in exorcisms and has done many, many exorcisms before. It's about 2 minutes long. I think you're going to like it. So check this out. Also, if you want to know more about exorcisms, I myself have, no, I've never been exorcised before, or exorcised either. Anyway, I have talked to Carl L. Johnson and Keith Johnson, who are both demonologists who have amazing stories about them performing exorcisms. And it's, I mean, their stories are captivating. And I'm definitely going to have them on again soon. So definitely look forward to that. But here is this one. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it and check it out.
He's now known all over the world for his work around just that. He never even wanted to become an exorcist and says what he's seen isn't far off the movies.
When I saw a person levitate during an exorcism during my training in Rome, you know, I think I was sitting there with my jaw wide open.
But this vision claims to capture the authentic exorcism of a woman who'd suffered abuse before turning to drugs and prostitution.
So when an exorcism is performed, the exorcist is in charge of the scene, and nobody should interject or do anything. When I was appointed in 05, I became one of only about 12 officially appointed exorcists in the United States.
Father Vincent Lampert is one of America's few Vatican-trained exorcists, living there for 3 months to learn how it's done.
So during my time in Rome, I set in on 40 exorcisms and was able to learn firsthand again the church's ministry to those up against the demonic.
His stories of witnessing the devil at work as a qualified exorcist are nothing short of haunting.
Soon as I started praying, she lunged at me like a wild dog. She's like,
"Whoa!" Oh my gosh.
I think I jumped back 5 feet, and this voice that came out of her mouth said, "Well, who's he? He has no power over us."
That's what happened when he was trying to help a woman who'd become possessed at the hands of childhood trauma.
And I went over and laid my hands on her head and started praying. And then the demon started laughing uncontrollably at me and says, "You can't get rid of us. We've been here too long and you're not strong enough."
So that was a quick little snippet from that that interview. I'll definitely link that in the show notes because if I don't, I'll probably get sued. So yeah, definitely check that out. It's pretty crazy. And then also check out the episodes that I have done with Carl and Keith Johnson. Amazing guys too. So yeah, the last thing I have to do for you guys is some Haunted eBay. Let's get it.
This is Haunted eBay. Happy bidding, kiddies. Ha!
So the first item is titled Haunted Ventriloquist Clown. Demonic, demon, satanic, paranormal doll. Beware. It's going for $600 and it's shipping for $20.95 from Mount Vernon, Texas. And the description goes like this. This demonic energy is a high-level demonic. That means you shouldn't ever let your guard down or never let it provoke or never provoke it. Excuse me. This negative energy has been known to manipulate dreams and turn them into very unwanted nightmares. The previous person told me about a dream she had where she set her ex-husband's house on fire and then laughed as he ran out of the house on fire. Needless to say, this is why she has decided to get rid of the clown. She also has stated that she has seen a shadow figure that moves very fast around the home, as well as poking around corners like it's peeking and being mischievous. She has also seen a figure that took the form of what she described as looking like a clown that had manifested next to her bed on several occasions, as well as found personal items moved or knocked off the dresser where she had the vessel placed. If you are scared easily, do not buy this clown. This is no joke, and if you get this clown, do not provoke it. You've been warned. I've had to take back several haunted dolls through the years because people don't take me seriously. Don't be that person. Wow. Haunted doll. Haunted clown doll for $600. Save up your money, pal. Save up your money, folks. The second and final item I have for you is haunted ship. A highly active spirit. It's like a haunted like model ship, okay? Not like a real actual like ghost ship. That'd be cool though. This is a very unique item indeed. The spirit attached is a vintage to this vintage model ship. Is very active and can be very vocal at times. Yes, you will hear him. He isn't negative in any way. However, he can be a bit stubborn and demands his tea and scrapple, whatever that is. That's what it says in parentheses, whatever that is. Oh, by the way, the price is only $13.50. The shipping is $6.90 from Quincy, Massachusetts. All right. So I bought this intriguing model ship 25 years ago at an oddities shop in Framingham, Massachusetts. This was obtained from a family of paranormal investigators that had been in that field for over 30 years at that time. The house that it came from was an old Victorian style house that has been built sometime in the early to mid 1800s. It was owned by a captain, his wife, and 5 children. As he and his family passed on, their presence still lingered in the home throughout the years. The home had several other owners, and all have said that the house was very haunted. Doors would open and close, footsteps would be heard throughout the house at all times of the day. Also, if by chance an owner had a tea kettle, the tea kettle would go off, as if someone had turned the stove on to make tea. The captain was known to drink a lot of tea and with honey. That's very good for you, by the way, especially if you're a singer. Edgegrave Dave knows. He also would get attached to certain items the owners had possessed in their homes, especially items that involved the ocean. This home was investigated and it was deemed as authentically haunted. The ship was found in the attic of the home by a previous owner and they used it as a decorative display. Within a couple of days after the ship was taken out of the activity in the house became more intense and frequent. Doors weren't just shutting, they were slamming shut. The smell of the ocean would permeate very strong throughout the house. A deep voice would call out, "Hot tea in my scrapple plate." The other incident that happened was when there was water that showed up around the table that this ship was on. The day I purchased this, I could feel the most intense energy vibrating from my fingertips all the way to my forearms. This item really captivated me, and I had to take it home to see for myself what awaited me. I have to say, I was not only intrigued, but I was amazed on the activity coming from this model ship. Now, I don't know the origin of the ship or who made it. What I do know is that the captain lived with it so much that he attached himself to it. And he loved it so much, I assume that meant. I had pretty much what the previous owners had said. Sorry. I did have a tea kettle, and yes, it did go off. I wasn't making tea, and I hardly ever used that kettle. He turns the stove on, so you definitely need to keep an eye on that for sure. I also did witness the water puddle. I had this on my fireplace mantle. Wow, this is long. And there was a puddle of water directly underneath the ship on the floor part of the fireplace. There are no areas or pipes where water would come out. It's never happened before. I feel this beautiful ship and its captain needed a home that enjoys having an active spirit in it. This is an authentically haunted item, so if you're not used to something like this, be prepared because you will see it and you will believe it. If you have any questions, feel free to message them at any time. Blah, 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 blah. Come see whatever, whatever, whatever. Yeah, so, I mean, that's pretty cheap too, guys. $13.50, $6.90, whatever it is. So it's about $20 for a haunted item. So definitely check it out. But let me just give you this disclaimer. Ghost Joe and the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, also the Nat Man, are not responsible if anything does or does not happen paranormal-wise. All right? We hold no responsibility for that. So bid and buy at your own risk. So that's going to do it for me, guys, on this awesome Halloween episode of the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I'm sorry it took so long for me to put out another episode, but, you know, life finds a way to F things up sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, sometimes you got to just roll with the punches and keep going. And that's what we're doing. Next week, hopefully we'll put out a new show. The Nat Man will be back. We'll have some more segments, some more stuff going on, and I will talk to you guys later.
Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or WarpRealityPodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your thoughts.